Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 99, part one, The Last Count. Today is Friday, May 22nd, 2009. April showers bring May flowers. Here we are, May 2009. Thank you for joining me. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota in the USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in the Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also find show notes at the blog where you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And also at the blog, you're going to find links to scriptures within the show notes, so be sure to go to check those out. I hope you're enjoying our two-part podcast episodes that are aired on Friday night, as well as Sunday morning. So be sure to check both parts out. God bless you and have a great week. Have a great spring. And don't forget to smell the flowers along the way.
And today's message is entitled, The Last Count. I started to think about counting. And I thought, well, you know, we spend most of our lives counting. We count our money. And we count on our money. We count on our victories, and many times we boast. We count on our defeats. We count all those. We count wrongs done us. We count chickens before they hatch. We count at inventory time. I worked a job years ago where they had these little screws, and they count out all these dumb little screws, this inventory. You got to count everything. But we count at sports events, and at the very last minute, they're counting down the seconds. Counting, counting. Everything we do is counting. We count our children. We count every ounce and pound and ton, every gallon and glass and pail and bucket and barrel and truckload and trainload and ticket and tax and river and ocean and fish and fowl and horse and mule and egg and potato and ballot and our whole life is spent as one big counting. We're counting on people. We're counting on a job. We're counting. We're counting on a message to lift us up. We're counting on God to do this, and we're counting on our wife to do that, and we're counting on our husband to do that. We're counting our feelings. And what we don't count, we want others to count for us. Did you keep count of that? Are you keeping records? We even gauge one another from 1 to 10. Everything is counting. And Psalm 87 and 6 says like this, and hear it real good. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. that this man was born there. And I started to think about that, but several times during the scriptures, we read them, there was censuses taken. When Jacob went down to Egypt, all his offspring were numbered 70, it says, and 10. And I thought, boy, that was small. That was about hardly a tenth full. But oh, how it's grown. From one solitary man it sprung, and then another census was taken. When the people came out of Egypt, in numbers you will be astonished at the growth in the numbers. Out of a place of bondage, seems like the more that they were oppressed, the more that they multiplied. It says there were 600,000 footmen and all prepared, it says, for battle, besides the women and the children and the aged men. Then there was another census taken after 38 years in the wilderness. You know what? There was no growth there because of sin. Then later, David attempted a census. Then, of course, we read that David was out of line. He took the priest's job, and God came against him, and God gave him this choice: 3 days of pestilence, or 3 years of famine, or a period of flight before his enemies who should defeat them in war, were offered to him as let's say, dread alternatives for his punishment of sin. And so did God seem to say, Jehovah shall write up the people, but David shall not. God shall count his redeemed, and God shall number his elect. But man shall not venture to touch the mysterious roll. No one can count. Only God. None but the Lamb shall take the book and open every seal. Glory. The Lamb's book of life is not to be read except by the eyes of him who bought the people with his very blood. Only the great shepherd shall count. One day, that final and that forever census, the final and decisive count will be made. And today, let's look at this, and may God then grant all of you listening to be on tape or radio, even here today, that you be in that last count when the Lord writeth up the people. This man was born there. And so today, let's look at five things in the writing up of these. What was the writing and what will evolve when the Lord writeth up his people? Number two, whose names will be found on the census? And number three, whose names will be there? And number four, who will write up the people? Number five, why will it be done at all? When the dispensation shall come to its very close, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come in the clouds in heaven, when that trumpet sounds, when all of the people shall be gathered to him to share his splendors and to delight themselves in triumph, then we believe, and those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be written upon. God will write them up. And what will the writing be? There will be written in the census personal matters. The text says like this, and listen now. This man was born there. They're not taken in plural. These men. This man, you were written there. Wow. They are not taken as a corporate body. You can't belong to a certain denomination or a certain church and think you're going to make it in that way. But one by one, each man's name shall be found either written there or else left out. And so we see here, personal matters alone will come into the great census paper of eternity. And let me stress this, that you can trace your heritage back 2,000 years. It won't do you no good, no matter who your forefathers were. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. But unless you have personally received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are not numbered. Now that's something you should tell people. That's something, if you have received Jesus Christ, you should tell. Is your name up yonder? Are you on that roll? Well, my mother's always been praying for me, and I go to this certain church, and I know this certain priest has nothing to do with it. But I'm in the choir, but I'm here, but I do this, but I do that. It has nothing to do with it. No connections, however admirable, no relations, however desirable, no proxies, can't send someone else in for you, however excellent, shall mean nothing. We must stand before God ourselves, each man for himself, to be acquitted or condemned, to be told, come thou blessed, or depart thou cursed one. Now here we do things in mass, don't we? And the good and the bad, though. Now I know a lot of folks don't like to hear this, but they suffer common calamities. Say amen. Wicked men rejoice in common mercies, but at the last the evil shall be with evil, and the good shall be with good, and the wheat and the chaff shall be separated, and the wine and the water will not be mixed, and the gold will have no tin in it. And that's the way it's going to be, and it's coming on us right now. Now is the appointed time to flee to the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't delay. If you're listening on the radio or to this tape, don't delay. Take this as a warning, if you will. But the Word of God is very plain on this. You must receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Now, this great census will also deal with the vital matters. Where you were born. Where you were born in the natural. I started to think about this years ago. Here, my father comes all the way over from Greece, comes into the Midwest, into a little town called Mitchell, South Dakota, meets my mother, and then our family was born right there. Kind of looks like God had a plan. Kind of looks like God had a plan in all of our lives, doesn't it? Praise the Lord for God's plans. But where were you born, Paul? Mitchell, South Dakota. And where were you born again? Those are the vital questions. There's going to be a fact sheet on each person. And what events shall be traced to their principles at that last day? Many a scene will come forth in prominence which we now hardly even regard. Humble churches will prove to have been birthplaces of thousands. Little churches where they thought, well, there's not too much going on, are going to be found to be the birthplaces of literally thousands of people, for the people were raised up to be soul winners, and they went out and they won souls. Isn't that going to be great when the Lord calls forth a denomination or a church that's been leading people to Christ, and you look across a sea of people and thought, well, we just had a little work going on. We didn't think too much of it. And there'll be a sea of people out there singing, we are saved, saved, saved. Say amen, somebody. Whoa. Then on the other hand, a lot of these popular places and many denominations will produce graveyards of millions of souls. For they never gave them the gospel message. They gave them something else. They gave them another gospel, and they were damned for it. Every preacher right now ought to raise up soul winners. Ought to let people know there is an important message to get out, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it will do the legalists no good to make a premature count. So many of the legalist preachers now, you hear them making premature counts. But already in their minds, they're prematurely counting out who's going to make it and who isn't going to make it. He may even number himself among the damned because he preaches law, then he must also be judged by the law. That which you preach, that's the same way you're going to be judged. And the matter that you meted out, that matter will be meted out back to you. Are you hearing this today? And so Jehovah's census of his chosen will differ much from ours. He will count many we have given up on. He will leave out many we have reckoned. His registration, I'm saying, is infallible. Oh, that we would campaign as the world does at election time. Oh, don't they spend millions to get their person in? Oh, that we would advertise and talk against our enemy, the devil. That we would put up signs, that we would get TV time and radio time, and that we would get the word out. That our God does not break his promises, that they are ever true. Well, the ballot box awaits you, so climb in, cast your bread, your life, upon the waters, the word, Jesus Christ, and it shall come back to you. That's the word that we must share with people. That's the word that we must have down inside of our heart and be fully convinced and fully persuaded that our God is able to keep us under that hour. And then the question will come, was this man ever called from the darkness to the light? Was his heart ever turned from stone to flesh? Were those eyes ever opened to celestial light? Were those ears ever ready to listen to divine command? Did all things pass away? Behold, all things become new. And if the answer is no, you will be left out when the Lord calls out, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And so you see, there is still time. But when the count is made, it will be very decisive. None will be added and none will be subtracted. Once it is taken, the angel shall cry out, he that is holy, let him still be holy. And this word, I believe, is going to echo all the way into heaven, but another word is going to echo all the way down into hell. And it's going to say like this, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still, because it's all over. It's closed. That shall be decisive. The last polling of the people, the last counting of the jewels, and the casting away of all the counterfeits, the last bringing in of the sheep and the banishment of the goats. Doesn't this then make it all important today that we should know, when the Lord writeth up the people, it shall be said that this man was born there? How vital it is. Now is the appointed time to receive the Lord. Now is the appointed time to turn around. Now is the appointed time to give all of your energy, your time, and attention to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then going on next, whose names will be found written when the Lord counteth his people? Now I don't believe no one can fully answer this. But by the word we can tell who won't be found there. And number one will be the hypocritical church member, because I think they are the most likely to be deceived. Maybe you've entered the church to gain respectability. Maybe you've come into the church so that you can have political gain. You have been play-acting. You are a wolf, it says in the Bible, in sheep's clothing. You have a name to live, it says, but are dead. You are respected in the church. You may even teach or preach. You may even be in the choir. You may even be the pastor. But unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Your credentials without Lord Jesus Christ are but dung notes, and they will take you nowhere. I think preachers need to be told right now, you have to have that witness within you, the assurance of the Holy Ghost, lest you be a castaway. Say amen, somebody. Don't you think this is a message that should be preached in this very final hour? And then another man will be found there as a mere hearer. Oh, how many mere hearers only are there? Their ears are tickled and their mind is interested and their gaze is fixed upon the preacher. And I think, oh yes, it's good to listen, but to be a hearer and not a believer will involve no salvation. To be a hearer only, but not to receive. To have the seed sown, but for the seed never to be taken, and to have it to take root will never give a harvest. Are you hearing this today? Light to the sightless eyeballs is no good. And to sit in the pews for 50 years and never receive the message, never receive Jesus Christ, never receive the word of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, never receive it by the grace of God, will do you no good. No good. So many are deceived right now. So many are on the outside right now that think they're on the inside. Because they haven't been given the simple message, you must be born again. They don't know that they can sing out, but I'm saved, saved, saved. They don't know when their conscience is always guilty that they have to sing out. It is, different portions of our life, that they have to sing out, but I'm saved, saved, saved. So many right now are deceived. So many right now are looking to themselves. So many right now are looking to a particular church or a particular pastor or a particular work that they're doing as their salvation. It won't work. There's only one way, then only one name by which you may be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Are you hearing this? Oh, and you may cry out on that last great day, we have eaten and we have drunk with thee, and thou hast taught us in the streets. And he shall say like this, very verily I say unto you, unto thee, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Wow. Also, we see another man. You know what man that is? That name will not be written up in heaven, by the way. It's the I will man. Did your kids ever say that to you? Make your bed. I will! Do the dishes. I will! And you go back an hour later. Didn't I tell you to do the dishes? I will! I will repent. I will seek a Savior. I will go to church. I will forgive. I will read the Word. I would be washed in the blood. Now, you said that to your mom 20 years ago, and you said that to your sister, praying sister, some 20 years ago. You said that in a foxhole. You said that when you were broke. You said that when you were in the hospital bed. You know what I have to say to that person? You are a sluggard laying in the bed of excuses, in the bed of lies. One of Satan's worst snares is the promissory note. That's his best snare. Under a sermon, when the sinner has been awakened, the devil gets him to say, I will by and by. Procrastination will lead you to hell. You should make a song like that. Procrastination will lead you to hell, huh? We have a song with that sort of a tune. What is that? Destination or whatever. Da 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 da. What is that song? But anyway, procrastination will lead you to hell. Just keep putting it off. Aren't we good at putting things off? Oh, I'm going to do that, but well, I haven't got time right now. I'll put it off. Felix did that. Paul, come back. I'm almost persuaded, but come back at a more convenient time. And so many times people want to hear when it's more convenient for them. I don't feel like listening today. I'll listen when it's more convenient. Today I'm mad. I'm upset. I don't want to hear today. I'll hear tomorrow. Shut up! Don't feel like listening to you. Huh? Well, that's the spirit you get when you minister. A lot of times, folks are not ready to receive. Doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. Oh, you just throw the seat out there, Pastor. Don't be dismayed at their faces on the radio when they make faces. Just go ahead. Put the seat out there. Doesn't matter. Even if they get mad, even if they clench their fists, oh, the world, everything is so mean to little old me. Doesn't matter. Stop procrastinating and let's move on with God. I'll say I'm sorry tomorrow, by and by. There's a song, you know, by go down by the river, by and by, huh? By and by. Though so much of our lives are, I will, we really don't mean it. We wouldn't talk like that. I said I would, didn't I? Are you going to do this or that? Didn't I say I was going to? Give me time. Don't push me. Get off my back. Huh? Well, pastors, it's time you got on folks' backs. It's time that you told them to shape up and get right with God. It's time that you tell people that they must be born again. And right now, and around our cities, there's a whole lot of denominational churches that are not preaching Jesus Christ, and you must be born again. Maybe they even have three or four services so they don't offend somebody with the message of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a sham? Well, we'll have a message for the sinners then. What do you talk to? If you don't give sinners Jesus Christ, what do you give them? How can a preacher get up and not preach Jesus? What do you preach? Politics? Art? Dancing? Rock? What do you give them? Rock and roll? I know they say rock and roll will satisfy your soul, but I don't believe that. See, just a few years ago, I came out of music. I know music. Say amen, somebody. There needs to be some changes in music. Say amen. Hey, don't compromise people. God, right now, if it doesn't lift up Jesus, it doesn't glorify God, if it's just a whole lot of noise, give it up. See, noise without a message is what the devil does. It makes a whole lot of noise to confuse you. Did you ever notice when you can't do something real good, then you just make a lot of noise? Say amen. Maybe you got a lot of noise going on in your mind right now. Maybe you're not hearing that because the noise is going on. Well, I'm going to work on folks anyway. My God, it's getting late. Hey, how do you get a confused person unconfused? You walk up and shake them. Say, hey, Mr. Confusion, over here, listen. Stop living in your mind. What a rat race that is. Say amen, somebody. Whoa, I will! That means you won't. You don't want to. You never are going to receive Jesus. I will, just in my own time. I'm not ready yet. This type deceives themselves and will not be written up there in heaven. Then we have men who are living in open sin and vice and who die as they live. They're going to die right in the same old thing. They don't want to give it over. And then we have the moralist, against whose character no accusation can be brought. They look positively beautiful. Unless you receive Jesus Christ, you will never be written up, period. Wait a minute. I know myself to be a real nice person. And I know myself to be an upright citizen. And you look at it and say, well, you know, he's right. He is an upright citizen. There's nothing on his record here. And he takes care of his yard. I don't see one dandelion in it whatsoever. I mean, it's manicured. It looks like a golf course. This guy is a picture of family. Mr., father knows best character. Huh? You know, fathers know best how phony that program was. Huh? And it's just nothing. I mean, it was just phony, right? Something that people could never live. Huh? No father could work all that time and come home and have 14 people and counsel them all night long like that.
Dad.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, Betty, come on in. Seems to be the problem.
No, sorry, folks. It's not the way it is. See, we like to think of ourselves as perfect moralists. You moralists listening to me, you humanists. Unless you receive Jesus Christ, Father knows best, you won't make it to heaven because you don't know best. Unless you repent and be converted, you will end up in hell, no matter how many people you got watching you on the tube. You'd be surprised down there. Then here's Father. Father knows best in hell? That's what people think. Well, he was such a nice guy. Well, if he doesn't receive Jesus Christ, he'll go to hell. And I'm just using that as an example. I pray that Father knows best, did know best, and received Jesus. I really do. How many are hearing this? Oh, but I will repent later on.
So if you tear a tear.